This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We bring in super friend of the show. She is from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, any chance Huntington Bank Field becomes Huntington Bank football playing surface? Now that we have Rocket Arena instead of Rocket Mortgage Field. Awesome.
I doubt it. I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
I think we're averaging a name change for our venues once a year on every venue. What do you think?
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, now we're 2-for-2, right? The ballpark.
Follow the money.
That's right. Follow the money.
There it is, Mary Kay. 100%. There it is. So, I like your story that you posted just a little while ago. Cam Ward vows to make teams who pass on him pay. We got another guy with a grudge already, Mary Kay. What's going on
Good
here?
Good job.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Cam Ward is that no one's really heard from him yet in this pre-draft process. We've heard plenty of things from Shedeur Sanders because he was at the East-West Shrine Bowl. We've heard and he was at the Super Bowl, and we've heard plenty of things from his dad, Dion. What we haven't heard much from is Cam Ward, and he did not go to the Shrine Bowl. He did not go to the Senior Bowl. He did not go to the Super Bowl. He was not running around Radio Row giving interviews and doing videos and all those kinds of things. So we haven't heard from Cam at all yet. And therefore, I think sometimes it almost feels like Shedeur has had all the momentum and is getting all the run. Well, that's probably about to change because now Cam has spoken up. And next week, we are all heading to the NFL Combine where he will be interviewed all over national media, but all of us will be standing in front of him at a podium as well and interviewing him. So now it's time for Cam to sort of step up and take center stage. And I think he showed us in this interview last night that he means business.
Does it matter if he throws at the combine or not?
No, I don't think it does matter if he throws at the combine. I know teams really appreciate it and would love it if he did, but I don't think it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things because he will throw at his pro day at Miami and he will throw at private workouts, not on those top 30 visits because they're not allowed to do that when they come into town, but when teams go out for a private visit, they're allowed to do that there. So he'll do plenty of throwing over the next couple of months, maybe not at the combine.
Your thought has been that they take a quarterback at 2. You still feeling that way as you get ready to go to the combine next week?
I am still feeling that way. I just don't see it any other way. I think you have to take a chance on one of these quarterbacks if you think that they can win. And I'm going by what I asked Andrew Berry at the Senior Bowl a couple of weeks ago, or now I guess 3-4 weeks ago, when I asked him, do you see a quarterback in this draft that can win? Do you see some winning quarterbacks in this draft? And he said, yes. Well, if there are those there and not just one, and you have a chance at them, then you have to take that chance. You have to write your ticket there and give it a shot. I don't think that you can go for a non-organization changing player at that position at number two. You don't hope to be picking that high anytime soon again. So I would take the shot and build around the quarterback and see how it goes.
And do you believe said quarterback will be married with a veteran free agent a la Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I do think that a veteran free agent will come in here, or a trade, or someone. I don't know if it will end up being Kirk Cousins or someone else, but there's no doubt in my mind that there will be some kind of a bridge quarterback coming in here. I think they'll probably sign or acquire two veteran quarterbacks to go along with Shador or Cam. I think that could come from the pool of Kirk Cousins. You know, there are a number of quarterbacks in that category. I think what you have to be a little careful of is acquiring a veteran quarterback who really fancies himself as a starter who can take the team the distance. I don't think that's really going to serve you well if you are drafting a quarterback at number two who you know is going to start this season. So in my mind, that sort of eliminates the Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where that puts Kirk Cousins, because I know he feels like he can still start and win for a team in the NFL. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit tricky when you look at who you want to acquire as your veteran bridge.
There were little things floating around last week about Aaron Rodgers. I cannot see Aaron Rodgers in a Browns uniform. Could you?
Well, probably not, just because of what I just mentioned.
Yes.
The fact that if he's going to come back and play more football, he's not going to come back to mentor a rookie. I don't think he's at that point yet. I think in his second season out of Achilles surgery, I think he'll probably feel like he can play better football in 2025, and that if he's going to put himself out there and continue to play, it's not going to be to ride the bench.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. Myles Garrett made an awful lot of appearances during Super Bowl week. He was everywhere he wanted to be, and the more Myles spoke, the more it just seemed like everybody nationally assumed, well, he's going to be playing somewhere else next year. What's his new destination? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I do think that everyone jumped to the conclusion that the Browns were going to readily just acquiesce and trade him, and I just don't think that's the case. I think the Browns are going to exercise patience, let this play out some. I think we are obviously going to hear from Andrew Berry at the Combine when we get there next week, and he'll have more to say about this then. But I'm guessing he's probably going to say the same thing that he said to a few of us at the Senior Bowl, and the stance that the Browns have stood by since then, and that is that they're not trading him, not even if someone offers them two first-round picks. Now, I've seen things change. You can say something like that in 1 month, and 2 months later, you change your mind for some reason, for unforeseen circumstances. But I do believe at this point in time, they don't have any intentions of trading him, and I think they're going to hang on to that point for as long as they can.
Mary Kay, I think we're all assuming that next year is a must-win year for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. But I mentioned in our last segment, with Myles and all of this, I wonder what marching orders the Haslams have given to their front office. You know, like, we need to win this year. Or we understand that our roster needs some work. This is a building year. What do you think the Haslams have told the guys who are running the football team? And what do you think they have to do next year?
Well, I think that the answer is sort of somewhere in the middle. I think the marching orders are, and I don't even think they need marching orders. This is what Andrew and Kevin are going to want too, to go out in 2025 and to win as many games as they possibly can with their new quarterback, with their new pieces that they add to the team, with the core players that they still have on the team, and try to get back to winning as much winning as they can as soon as possible, while also restocking, retooling, and rebuilding a little bit for the future. But retooling and restocking doesn't mean that you're not trying to win as many games as you possibly can. And if you just stop turning the ball over and you get a running game and good, decent quarterback play, you're already going to be at 7 or 8 victories. So I just don't think that you have to go out there, and there's no such thing in my mind in today's NFL of tanking and rebuilding and tearing it all down. There's just no need to do that with all of the avenues that you have to keep a team competitive. The Steelers have never had a losing season in 18 years under Mike Tomlin. I think that should say a lot.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary Kay, you said you're off to the combine here in a little bit. I'm just curious, like, total fan question here. Just what do teams actually learn at the combine? And can anything be said for a player that doesn't want to do something, or, you know, I think you're right about the, if you're going to work out in an individual session, why should you have to throw 3 times? Like, the team's probably going to bring you in anyway if you're a high draft pick. So what do teams actually learn, and what's the biggest benefit teams have from the combine? Is it just figuring out guys maybe later in the draft, or bubble guys between free agents and 6th, 7th rounders? What do they learn?
Well, one of the biggest things that they learn at the combine is the, you know, the culture fit and the personality of the player through the interviews. So those interviews that go until like 11 o'clock every night at the combine are vitally, vitally important. That is where you really start to get to know a player, or continue to get to know a player, perhaps maybe before he comes in for your top 30 visit. So you've got several points at which you get to talk to these guys. Senior Bowl is one of them, East-West Shrine Game, you know, then you've got the combine, and then you've got your top 30 visits. So these are tremendous opportunities to sit face-to-face with the player and really dig in there and get your, you know, team psychologist in there and coaches and personnel people, and try to get into the mind, heart, and soul of a player, especially a quarterback. I mean, if it's going to be the player that is going to lead this team for the next how many ever years, you need to know what you're getting. So I think that's one of the biggest things you'll get out of it.
How active will this team be in free agency, Mary Kay?
I think they'll be somewhat active. I think they need to add maybe 3 or 4 key pieces in free agency, and then there will always be those 3 or 4 other sort of second or third tier players that you will acquire to bolster certain positions. But I think they can get 3 or 4 key pieces. I don't think they are necessarily going to go out and pursue the top 3 players in this free agency period because of the money situation that they're in right now. But I do think that they will find opportunities to fortify a position and bring in a couple of starters that will really help them.
I don't want to make this a weekly question. I'm still just wondering about Nick Chubb and how they're going to probably approach the draft with a running back, because there's plenty of good running backs out there, I think, in coming out of college. So just your thoughts on Nick and the running back position.
Well, there are two positions at which I would draft two players. Now, they're going to have, they've got their nine original picks, and they will have also, I think, as many as three compensatory picks. So with those 12 picks, I would actually be drafting two quarterbacks. I would take one at number two, and then I would take another one somewhere, wherever it seems to make sense. If you see one that got left behind by someone in the third round or the fourth round, I would snatch them up there, develop them, and if nothing else, then you have some trade bait or a good quarterback in the pipeline, maybe your future backup or something like that. So I would draft two quarterbacks, and I would draft two running backs. I would go for one sort of fast, shifty, multi-purpose, someone along the lines of a Jerome Ford, but someone else kind of like him that you can pair with him, but also more of the big bruising back that can get you those tough yards on the goal line and in short yardages and things like that. So I would be reshaping the running back room, and I would definitely be going for two.
Mary Kay, as always, we enjoy our conversation with you. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking a little bit more as we get closer to the combine. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we get some answers when the team goes there as well. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.